Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And thank you for joining us. We're talking about how not to use a smartphone today. Yesterday, we learned a couple of ways which you should not use your smartphone. You don't want to ignore your surroundings when you are on your smartphone. You also don't want to record other people without their permission. Now, do you have a smartphone? And how do you use it most often? Because smartphones can be good. Carolyn, how do you use your smartphone?
Well, if I had a smartphone, I would probably use it to look up information online because I have a very high tendency to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be very useful to have a map on my smartphone.
Carolyn, it is very useful. I also use the map on my smartphone sometimes. The way I use my smartphone most often is for connecting with people that are not around me all the time, like through Facebook and things like that. So you can use your smartphone in good ways, but of course, there are some downsides to having a smartphone. Don't use it in the wrong way. Let's continue learning about this in today's lesson.
How not to use a smartphone. Disconnecting from people. Smartphones are great tools for communication, except when they replace personal interaction. It's not uncommon to see people sitting together, not speaking, but staring silently at their smartphones. Real friendships require face-to-face interaction. Facial expressions and body language express far more than words or emoticons. What you focus on reflects your priorities. Interrupting a conversation to check your phone implies that the person you're with is less important than your messages.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. Are you out to dinner chatting with your friends? Online or WhatsApp? Smartphones are great for many things, but on day two of our culture article, we'll find out why it may be bad, too. Let's take a look at our key words for the day before we begin. Interaction. Interaction is a noun. Interaction with their parents is important for young children. Imply. Imply is a verb. This email Josh sent me implies that he needs our help. Stifle. Stifle is a verb. Jessie stifled her anger and tried to respond calmly to Joelle's question. Your more information words are body language. Body language is a noun. Emoticon. Emoticon is a noun. Now let's get started with the article.
Well, this is a very interesting section titled, Disconnecting from People. And right there in the heading, we see the word disconnecting, and it's a word from our word bank. If you are disconnected from something, then you are not connected. You're away from it. Maybe very far away. Gabe, how do we usually use this word?
Well, I think about it when I'm thinking about devices like computers or phones or tablets, things that need to be plugged in. You need to connect it to an electric source so that you can have power. And then you can disconnect it. You can pull the wire out of the wall. You can disconnect these things. But then, of course, they might run out of batteries if you disconnect them for too long. But how else can you use this word?
Well, here we're talking about disconnecting from people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not an electronic device, your smartphone or your tablet that's plugged in and then it's not plugged in. This is talking about your relationships with the people around you. And if you're disconnected from a person, then you're not really paying attention to them. You're not close to them, even though perhaps they're right next to you. Mm-hmm. So how does this start, Gabe?
Well, smartphones are great tools for communication, except when they replace personal interaction. I think this happens a lot. Smartphones and other kinds of technologies can replace personal interaction with people. Let's talk about that key word, interaction. When you interact with somebody, that means you're having a conversation with them, or you're communicating with them somehow. That is interaction. Carolyn and I are coworkers, and so we have personal interaction almost every day. How else can you use that word?
Well, I do think of it as a personal interaction when you are talking to another person. You are interacting with them. There's also a verb form, interacting. So if you have this interaction with others, then you are developing a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. However, continuing in the article, we see it's not uncommon to see people sitting together, not speaking, but staring silently at their smartphones.
That's right. It's not uncommon. You could also say it's common to see this kind of thing happening. It's not uncommon. They want to emphasize that this happens a lot. People just stare silently at their smartphones and they don't really talk to each other. But what can we find out about real friendships? We continue. Real friendships require face-to-face interaction. Carolyn, do you agree with this? Do all real friendships need face-to-face interaction?
Well, I know that in our world today, we're so connected through technology that mm-hmm. people enjoy just sending emails, chatting online, talking on the phone, sending text messages, and there are so many ways to communicate with people that sometimes we don't think about face-to-face interactions as being very important, mm-hmm. but I think that if you really want to have a close relationship with someone, you need to see them in person and sit down and get to know them, not just chatting online.
I agree. And we continue learning more about this. Facial expressions and body language express far more than words or emoticons. Well, there's a lot in that sentence, but of course, if you're talking with someone, communicating with somebody, 90% of your communication is nonverbal. It's not what you say, it's in your body language and facial expressions. So what is your body language, Carolyn?
Well, your body language is what you're doing with your body. We say language is what you're saying, what you're speaking, but you can also use your body to communicate things, and especially facial expressions. If you are happy, you have a smile. If you are not happy, maybe you have a frown or you're angry. And it's very obvious from the way that your body is reacting to what someone else is saying, how you feel.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can express those feelings with emoticons if you're writing or texting someone. Let's take a look at the Info Cloud for more information about this.
Emoticons are pictorial symbols that people include in their emails, blogs, and instant messages to communicate feelings that words simply can't express by themselves.
There are hundreds of emoticons in use today. However, the most popular still remains the smiley face. In the Western world, they're made by hitting the colon key for the eyes, a hyphen for the nose, and then a right parenthesis, which represents the upturned mouth.
Now, most Western emoticons, like the smiley face, are vertical. That is, you have to tilt your head to the left to read them. Compare them with Japanese emoticons, which tend to be horizontal.
Right. They might require a few extra steps to make, but there's no head tilt required.
For example, a Japanese-style happy face emoticon has an underscore for the mouth, carrots for eyes, and parentheses symbolizing the outline of the face.
Asian people will also sometimes use language characters as emoticons. For example, the Chinese character Jiong, which means bright.
But because Jiong kind of looks like a wacky square face, when it's used as an emoticon, it can express annoyance, embarrassment, awkwardness, and frustration, depending on the context.
今天的课文讲到 emoticon 表情符号，我们不妨来看看几个常用的表情符号。传统的也是最早的原型呢，只有一个，那就是笑脸。那是由 colon 冒号加上 hyphen 连字符号加上一个 right parenthesis 右括号所形成的眼睛、鼻子和一个微笑的嘴巴。问题是它是横的，你必须要把头歪一边才会看得出那是一个笑脸。日本的笑脸符号呢就不需要转头，但需要多打两个符号，而且还要用比较少用的 caret 拖字符号。我们中文呢也有表情符号，那就是囧这个字。它原本表示光明，但后来呢被网友发现其中的八字可以表示眉毛、口表示嘴，因此被用来代表郁闷、悲伤、无奈等不同的表情。这就是今天的 InfoCloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thanks, Steve and Ken. Well, emoticons are pretty interesting, and I actually have one right here.
Yeah, that is a very popular emoticon. I've got one too. What could these things be expressing? Well, we don't know. But emoticons do express different emotions.And it's important not just to express through emoticons, but to be able to have face-to-face interaction with people. While we continue with our lesson, what you focus on reflects your priorities. So interrupting a conversation just to check your phone implies that the person you're with is less important than your messages.Well, Carolyn, we have a key word there in that sentence.
We do, the word imply. And if you imply something, then that is what people are going to think. So if you're not paying attention to the people around you, you're just playing with your smartphone or fiddling with your smartphone, it makes other people think that really they aren't very important and maybe you don't want to talk to them.
That's right. Sometimes you imply something in life.You don't say it directly to your friend, but your actions show something. That's how you imply something to your friend. Well, it's time for us to continue learning something with Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点我们看 disconnect 这个动词。D-I-S 是一个否定的字首。Connect 是指连接，所以Disconnect 是指切断、断开或者是中断。例如 ,Peter's phone was disconnected because he forgot to pay his bill. Peter 因为忘了付账单所以电话被切断了。或者是 Mark decided to disconnect from the chain and buy his own store. Mark 决定要脱离连锁买下自己的店。继续我们来看的是 imply 这个动词。Imply 是指表明、意味或者是暗示。例如 ,Susan's remoteness implies her resentment toward her parents. Susan 的保持距离意味着对父母亲的憎恶。或者是 ,Are you implying that I am the one who stole the money? 你是在暗示我就是偷钱的人吗？或者是 ,His affection toward the girl is not said, only implied. 他对这个女生的好感并没有明确的说出来，只是用暗示的。
How not to use a smartphone. We're learning all about the ways that you should not use your smartphone. And one thing we've talked about today so far is disconnecting from people. Of course, if you're always on your smartphone, then you lose face-to-face interaction with other people. And that is so important for real friendships. You don't want to communicate to your friends that they are not important simply because you're always...on your smartphone. Well, it's time for us to continue learning more about how not to use a smartphone.
How not to use a smartphone. Missing experiences. If you're at a special event, don't let your phone become a distraction. Turn it off or use the silent mode so everyone can fully enjoy the experience. Stifling your creativity. With your smartphone always available, you always have something to do. But that may not be a good thing. Some say that unused time is necessary for creative thinking. So, resist the impulse to spend every spare moment with your phone. Instead, see what great ideas you can think up. By avoiding these habits, you can be sure your smartphone is helping, not hurting you.
Well, our next tip here is missing experiences. We don't want to miss out on experiences because of the technology we use. And we see here, if you're at a special event, don't let your phone become a distraction. So don't be distracted by your phone. You should enjoy the special event that you're attending. Gabe, how does it continue?
Well, I think many things in life can be distractions. So we continue, turn it off. Turn your smartphone off. Or use the silent mode so everyone can fully enjoy the experience. It's true. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting, or sometimes I'll be watching a movie and someone's smartphone or cell phone will go off, or they'll be using it and they're not really enjoying the experience. They're not really there experiencing something with you. So turn it off or turn it on silent.
That's right. And we see another point here, stifling your creativity. Oh, and we have a key word right there in the heading, stifle. To stifle something, what does that mean, Gabe?
Well, sometimes you feel stifled. That means you want to be free to do something, but you're limited. Something is making you not so free to do something. So we are creative people. People are supposed to be creative, but if you're always on your smartphone, then that could stifle your creativity. How else could you use that word stifle?
Well, it does mean to prevent you from growing or developing, and we don't want to stifle our careers. When we are trying to grow and develop in our education and learning, maybe learning a new language, we want to make sure that we don't stifle that development and just allow it to grow and improve.
That's right. So, what in your life is stifled? Think about that, because you don't want those things to be stifled. You want to be able to grow. Well, our first sentence here is, with your smartphone always available, you always have something to do. That's okay. I mean, if you really want to do something all the time.
But that may not be a good thing. Some say that unused time is necessary for creative thinking. So, it sounds like it's pretty important to have a little free time, a little downtime, where you don't have to always be occupied by something.
That's right. That is called your unused time. Unused time could be very important. We continue, so resist the impulse to spend every spare moment with your phone. Well, let's take a look at a phrase from that sentence. When you resist the impulse to do something, your impulse is what you want to do right away. You think about it, and then you want to do it. But when you resist that impulse, that means you stop yourself. So I could also say, resist the impulse to say everything that comes to your mind. Sometimes you need to think before you speak. So resist that impulse. How could you use that phrase?
Well, it's very true. You should resist the impulse to say everything you are thinking about, but perhaps you also need to resist the impulse to buy everything you see.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is very difficult. We want something and we think, oh, that would be great. I can wear it here or I can put it there. But we need to resist the impulse and think before we buy things.
And, of course, resist the impulse to spend every moment with your smartphone. Instead, see what great ideas you can think up. Well, Carolyn, these are great words. Think up. What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean your thoughts are going to be going up out of your head. They're not going up, but if you think up something, then you have an idea. And here, you can think up great creative ideas. They can be your very own thoughts.
Maybe you can use this phrase in another way. Maybe there is something problematic in your life and you need a solution. Well, you can think up a solution for your problem. Well, we see by avoiding these habits, you can be sure your smartphone is helping, not hurting you. And this is very important for us. Don't let your technology hurt you. Right now, it's time for us to go enjoy a review skit, and then we'll see Michelle in the language lab.
Today's smartphones can do almost anything instantly.
Yeah, they are so smart.
But here are some problematic habits that you should avoid.
Did you say something?
Number one, don't ignore your surroundings.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I just took a photo of you.
Number two, I know it's tempting, but you should ask permission before you snap a photo.
There, I shared it online.
And ask before posting it online. Once you post something, it's impossible to remove.
You look so funny.
How embarrassing. Number three, don't replace personal interaction with your smartphone.
Huh? Excuse me, I have a call.
What you focus on reflects your priorities. Number four, don't let your smartphone let you miss a special event. Turn it off and enjoy the experience. Happy birthday, by the way.
Later. Later.
And number five, don't let your smartphone stifle your creativity. Resist the impulse to spend every spare moment with your phone. Instead, think. Think of great ideas.
So my smartphone should be helping, not hurting.
Right.
Okay, I'll turn my smartphone off.
Great. Now we can communicate face to face.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Oh, so hold on. That's my phone. I need to take this call.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 stifle 这个动词。Stifle 是指抑制或者是扼杀。例如 ,asking children always to color inside the lines can stifle their creativity. 要求小朋友总是要在框线里面着色可能会扼杀他们的创意。或者是 the policy is meant to stifle people's freedom of speech. 这个政策就是要抑制人民言论的自由。或者是 Sherry tried to stifle her giggles, but failed. Sherry 试着要抑制自己不要咯咯笑最后还是忍不住。所以我们看的是 So resist the impulse 里面的 resist 这个动词。Resist 是指忍耐或者是抵制。所以它的第一个 S 是发 Z 的音第二个 S 是发 S 的音念成 resist。例如 I can't resist the temptation to buy mouth-watering chocolates. 我没有办法抵抗诱惑买了些令人食指大动的巧克力。Resist 后面也可以加动名词例如 Larry couldn't resist giving advice to his buddy. Larry 忍不住给他好朋友建议了。And now let's see what our teachers are doing.
We've been talking all about things to avoid doing with your smartphone. And today we...discussed disconnecting from people. Do you think your smartphone is hurting the relationships you have with others? Gabe, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I've been hurt like this before. When I was hanging out with a friend at Starbucks, and I really wanted to talk to this friend, but she was constantly on her smartphone. So yeah, it has hurt some relationships.
That is very unfortunate, and I've actually seen a group of guys just sitting at a cafe, and none of them spoke a word to each other. They were on their phones the entire time.
Well,
that is all for this lesson, but we hope that you'll join us again right here on Studio Classroom. See you!
See ya.
In our last episode, we saw Sherry forced into a taxi by a wicked man with a knife. Why? What will happen to her? Stay tuned as we continue The Stranger.
The taxi driver chased me into an alley, grabbed me, and threw me into the back of his taxi. It seemed like a nightmare. I was too scared to scream or even speak. And even if I did scream, would anybody have noticed? Would anybody have cared?
Junfan, you've been watching too many Jet Li movies. I'll have to start calling you Huang Feihong.
Yeah, and you've watched every single episode of Batman at least a dozen times.
Okay, you got me. But who's Sherry? And why would anyone want to push her into the back of a taxi?
Jason, I just told you. Sherry is the girl I just met. We're having dinner with her and her friend tonight.
Well, if it was Sherry you saw, maybe the taxi driver was simply helping her get in the taxi.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just a little anxious about tonight.
Hey, I hope you're not trying to set me up with her just because we're both foreigners. Remember, I'm only teaching here for another couple of months. I'm not looking for any long-distance romance.
Actually, I was thinking of keeping her for myself.
So I see the love bug has bitten you.
That may be true, but that's not what I'm worried about now. Remember I told you that my father fell in love with a foreigner when he was young?
So you're taking after your dad, eh? Oh, sorry. I know you're still upset about what happened. You were saying?
I was saying that after my parents died in that car accident last month, the lawyers told me my dad left half his fortune to a woman named Debbie Harris.
Who's Debbie Harris?
The woman my dad was in love with before he met my mother.
Join us next time for more of The Stranger.